this morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19, and I'm reading from verse 23 to 30. Matthew 19 from 23 to 30. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. Friends, this morning our title is The Cost of Discipleship and the Rewards of Salvation. The Cost of Discipleship and the Rewards of Salvation. And okay, as someone who visited Ignatius Kassan, and he said, The hindrances to salvation. Christ was emphasizing on the hindrances to salvation. So all the time he was warning about the things that will hinder us from entering into the kingdom of God and for eternal life. Here, a young man came to him. He was very rich and popular. He was a ruler. And he came to Christ to ask how he can inherit eternal life. He was rich already. He had everything. And according to him, he obeyed the commandments. So he thought it was enough for him to inherit the kingdom of God and therefore the eternal life. And Christ used the opportunity to teach his disciples the way to salvation and the hindrances to salvation. Where as someone already ever used to be and he said, Edien obeya obenya and kwajie, obenya dachi and kwa. Now we really saw sika or when you dear or when you might be brave. And so now Nakume Muno would me who say only and kwaji. It didn't be a cassette. Will be a better heaven, only anyone who will go to heaven knows. Nobody can pretend that as for me, I will wait until when I get to God and then God will decide. No, you must know it right from here. This man was rich. According to him, he said he followed the law. So why was he having something in his heart? That he was lacking something. He knew that his soul was not saved. And that's how come he came to Jesus Christ. And to be in the home of Becca, so Becca heaven, I win him. It is a whole chair here, whom we have been over heaven. I said, now we'll move there and next, who are over heaven. And now we call a year view at Danoma. And if I four, and I know who are here, more year, four people and from the same family. Four people, they all bed the same name, the same name. And the pastor who came to preach, instead of warning the people that they also can die just like them and that they should seek God while they are alive, he was talking about so many things far away from what was happening. People do not even see the need to look for Christ because they are not hearing these truths. There are so many hindrances to our salvation, and this is one of them. Christ warned about riches. Riches can be a hindrance to your salvation, and that was what he was telling the people here. Riches can hinder your salvation. The American is there. Oh, we are our bias. We know we will be a or an idea or sika or we will be a udini pebi and we are ruler. And so no, or no one see no dim dana so. And so none of them will be a cassa, no, be a ye papa. Who are uncle heavy. Not a cow and a woman with a hidden money by his own. He was and say, a dear name, a mania damper. Now, if we are now, we are at the ma, yes, you know, and the ma, yes, you know, so I can't intend the brain. Now, as someone as I will read to me, a dahoma yenina, teach you young people, a mebuno, obese you are of a so ye, who be again say, obey Sikani, and I say, obey your obedi, we are seeing wealth, fame, and whatever. That is not your fault. It is the result of your depravity. Depravity means in essence you're falling into no sad in your team. People are always running away from God and seeking their own good. And they think by achieving those things they will be satisfied. Sadly will be a team, will be a sister of a so is can you and I say well Gideon na you can say yes or no I see. Nyamia semi dear will be a person will be team. Kedona obey your command for say but can I say man. When I was running away. Running from God. And if you run away from God, where are you going to? When I was praying, I mentioned that God breathed unto us and we became living souls. And yet we are running away from that God. We don't want to follow him. How can we be satisfied? There's no way we can be satisfied. If he withdraws his breath, that's the end of you. And yet, we don't always want to listen to God. We want to achieve our own thing. We'll be as well as can he. We'll be able to. Christ is saying here that riches will hinder your salvation. If we are seeing Munyama, a bit too free when you go for a tea, Emma Wunya and Quanjin. Christ said a similar thing in Matthew chapter 6. Please let's turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Please entreat.
Oh, share my dear association, and you are a machine statement. Then before we go to the other, I want to share that I will show that when you are a machine statement, now before we go to the other.
So, where your treasure is, that's where your interest will be. It's natural. Bebia, adia sum go pa yema on e hono hono wagi debo. And he said, oh, shame, you are seeing money, man, or you are in Yakupon. When you become, you are seeing money, man, so I say, Yakupon. And therefore, you miss the kingdom, you miss its eternal life. And that's what happened to this young man. It seemed that to the life, everybody would like to be where how that young man was. Yet, he knew that things were not right in his soul. No, ni pase na kume muno bibi enye right or it you know oba yesu konu bibi na sotu. Good master, what good things shall I do then that I may have eternal life? So when he said it, Jesus first questioned him that who is good, and then he directed him to keep the Ten Commandments, and the young man claimed that he had kept all the Ten Commandments. But if he was sure that he had kept all these Ten Commandments, why was he still lacking assurance that he would go to heaven? No human being can obey the Ten Commandments. No human being can obey it. And that is why Christ came to obey it on our behalf, died on our behalf, so that his obedience of the commandments will be imputed unto us. That's what the gospel is. No human being can on their own satisfy God. Christ has done that for us. So when you believe in him, then what he has done is given you. So when you appear before God, you appear as Christ, not as you. And that's what this young man was asking. He said he still did not have assurance of eternal life, even though he claimed that he has obeyed all the law. So he came to Christ. He asked Christ, I've obeyed all these, which lack I yet, or what do I still lack? And that's when the issue came in. Then Christ in verse 23 said, if thou will be perfect, if you want to be perfect, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Same as Christ said, if your treasure is in heaven, your interest will be in heaven. If it's on earth, your interest will be on earth. So he told this young man to go and sell all that he has and come and follow him. And the verse continues that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Or there were who Jesus can't say here, or there were who if Jesus were a boy. He said, no, so you see here, he loved the possessions more than the love of eternal life, which was in Christ. Then it jay Nahunyanoho, Essen said, yes, any name, Quantian, any eternal life. So, this young man, he loved the possessions more than following Christ. And it means he loved his possessions more than the love of God and his neighbor, which is in the commandment that he said he has obeyed. Even here, it's proving that he cannot obey the commandment. The love of God is the first commandment, the love of God and your fellow neighbor. And here, the love of God was even not more than the love of his possession. So it means that he loved the possessions more than how he loved God. So he refused salvation and therefore forfeited eternal life. And so Christ turned now to his disciples, and that's where he started teaching them so many things, because they have just seen how somebody had rejected eternal life because of worldliness. He loved the possessions more than the love of God. He would like to keep the possessions rather than to live and give to the poor, as Christ said. So now Christ used the opportunity to teach them about salvation. And like I said, since the fall, this has been the problem of mankind. We are all running away from God. We are all seeking worldly things, thinking that those things will satisfy us. So if we read all this passage, the whole thing, what the whole thing is about, it's about salvation. Asumaye kenyina ngebe mesia no ye enkwaje. Do you have it? Who was salvation? Who won kwaje? Because and this is exactly what Christ was saying in this account. is about salvation. What question did the young man ask Christ when he came? He asked for eternal life. And what did the disciples also ask Christ in verse 25? After Christ had said this, he was surprised. He said, okay, then who then can be saved? If this is how salvation is, then who can be saved? And saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation to eternal life. So this whole thing is about salvation, where we will spend eternity. So when we say you are saved, it means you have eternal life. To have eternal life is to be saved. So this text is structured in such a way that Christ's response to the rich man shows our hindrances to salvation. And he mentioned especially riches. The rewards of salvation. He taught them the hindrances, and he might be messy who find. And was after show them say, "Unyam kwadi enoa." And for swa, it was. I chair said, "The beer obeya obeya salvation." As I said, "Oh yeah." So we drink and for swa, it was. Now you can imagine. Or just say, "Who are? What lose? Who die? What lose? Who new? What lose? Who be beer?" So we begin dinner. We begin share. Obesa the funny money now 100 times. And we beer share you mu. And then you come answer. Plus eternal life. That's what he told him. If you do all these things, whatever you have lost, I will give you 100 times that whilst you are living in this world. And plus eternal life when you die. So why should you let these hindrances, you know, take you away from these wonderful promises that he will give you all what you lose in this world plus eternal life? We don't like to go with the hindrances and have eternal life in hell, or to do whatever it takes with his help anyway. Nobody can do it on his own, with himself, to get eternal life. And then all what you have will also be given you. So now let's come to the main warnings that Christ gave in this account from verse 22 to 24. The point he was making is that riches make salvation hard, as simple as that. As someone who can say, "Ahunya die, Emma, enkwaji ehu eye din." He said, then Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily, I only say verily, it means it's true, truly, sincerely." When Christ used the word verily, "Verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." A rich man was keni ebeye din se obeko onyankopon ahinie. Why is it hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Why is it difficult for the rich man to be saved? To answer that question, let's think about this rich young man again. He said he walked away from Jesus an eternal life. Why? Because it was too hard. And I've met so many people who are rich in this world, and they confirm to me that it is hard. They believe what I'm saying, but it is hard for them to do it. So what Christ is saying is true. It will cost him too much to forfeit all what they have, all their ambitions, and follow Christ. They think it will cost them too much. And you may ask, why? What does the riches got to do with all these things? Friends, it has everything to do with it. It's because this man's wealth had blinded him to his sin. Because of his riches, he did not even believe that he was a sinner. But to come to Christ, the first thing you must know and believe is that you are a sinner and that you can't do anything about your sins. So that's why Christ quoted the commandment to the sinner, so that he will expose him of his sin. But in his pride, he refused to acknowledge his sin. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 11, he said, "The rich man is wise in his own conceit." In his own conceit, which means in his own eyes, the rich man will be away. That's what we all think. We all used to think that. So, are you saying that all these big churches with millions of people are all going to hell? Friends, remember what Christ said. He said the way to the truth is narrow and very few find it. The way to death is wide And that's where you see all people going. So don't be deceived by the number of people in a church or in a congregation. You see that they are all blessed. We will get to know all these things from the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said the rich man is wise in his own eyes. So this means riches often make a person boastful or arrogant. So be Oscar, San Way, they preach as if God is under them, as if they command God. And it's all because of their riches. It made them proud and arrogant. And that is why this rich young man, he boasted that he had kept all the commandments from his youth. That's what he was saying. So he never thought that he was a sinner. And yet Christ told him that you are a sinner. And if you don't sell all your things to come and follow me, you can never inherit eternal life. So we see here how riches can make salvation difficult. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul tells Timothy, he said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things from joy. Rob, please, can you read that for me in chief? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. First Timothy 6, verse 17. It is uncertain. It can never satisfy you. It can go away within a few hours' time. So you can't put your trust in it. But you can put your trust in God, the living God, the one who breathed into you and became a living soul. Again, when Moses was going with the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 18, that is a long story, we can't read. But what Moses did was that he warned them about the danger of riches before they entered the promised land. When they were coming from Egypt, before they entered the land, he warned them that they must be very careful about the riches when they enter into the... It's a long story, but you can read it. It's from verse 10 to 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, from 10 to 18. So, riches make us think that we can do all ourselves. Like I said, they can make us arrogant, they can make us self-satisfied. You see, they can make us boastful and proud. So he said that such a person, it will be difficult for him to enter into the kingdom. Why? Why is Christ saying all this? That it will be difficult for the rich person. Already I've said that when if you are rich, you'll be proud of your riches. All your attention will go to your riches. So it will be difficult to enter, because in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Christ said the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who humble themselves like little children. You see how little children are. When they say they trust in you, they trust completely in their parents. Whatever they say, they know it's true. They humble themselves. And that's how you must be. He said, assuredly, which is also verily, I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be converted from the pride and the arrogance that we were born with before you can enter into the kingdom of God. You must become like a child. You know how children are. That's what Christ is warning here. You must become one of that before you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, you can never. Pride will take you away from God. So it means that you must be converted. You must have a change of heart and attitude. You must come humbly, not depending on anything that you have, as a poor person, and trusting only in the grace of God. Friends, riches are deceitful. They will deceive you. That's what Christ was saying in Matthew 13, verse 32. He said, he who received seed in the parable of the sower. He said, the one who received the seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. As my old can say, now or can but ever a buffoon now will go abano, a big go as a passo, a big go a bosso, a big go and cassim. Now you see a boom cassimuno, a yama almost tear seminal. And so if we are Timon 70, if we are Timon, you obey ye, and you obey ye, Sika Obenya, and the margin, you know, and my assembly, you might own. So I'm saying, oh, what I've been now is the castle, and you obey so a seminal obey, and so a seminal and yet my words. Was it the deceitfulness of riches? They are deceitful. Riches are deceitful. They can't take you anywhere, and yet it will deprive you from the eternal life. So wealth and possessions will steal your time. It will by all means take your attention. Then Christ gave another parable about this riches in verse 24. Look at what he said. He said, and again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Look at the picture. Or see a bad day, say Yoma. Even Ura Panier to Krum. Or see a bear mre, say Yoma be Ura Panier to Krum. Than say Oskeni, Ebeko Heaven. Said, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That means it is impossible. Because we know that a camel, because that time, the biggest animal that they were aware of is the camel in their days. And then I'm sure the smallest hole they can think about is the needle's hole. And he's saying that it is easier for a camel to enter that hole than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, what is Christ saying here? He's saying that it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus can he ever then put him in for heaven? Say, I see Yoma, private me a bra, Tanya, it's a grumoa. I just say, who's getting into me for heaven? Son of Christ, that's what it is just impossible. I'm sure at this point, some of you are meeting me would be wondering what do we mean by riches? How rich should you be that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven? Or how poor should you be to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Christ here doesn't give any number. He did not say that if you have maybe 10 million cities or dollars, or you have houses, or you have this, that's why you can enter into the heaven. But remember that when we say there's a saying that the love of money is the root of all evil. And mind the word love. The love. It didn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of it. So it's not saying the riches per se will not let you go to heaven, but the love for it, how you spend all your time on that, how that has become your God. That is the problem. There are many, many rich people who are true Christians. When you read Dr. Matthew's book, the Men of Destiny also, and Men of Purpose, all the books, it tells of people who were very rich, but they used their resources to serve the Lord sincerely from their heart. And some people will have eternal life. He is talking about people who rely on their riches, always thinking about riches and how they can make it. I hear people all the time, if you ask them, why don't they go to church on Sunday? They will tell you so many stories. They have this to do, they have bills to pay, they have that. So I ask them, so don't you think that God knows all these things? And yet he said, go to church on Sunday. He knew. That's why I said, seek me first. Seek the kingdom of God first. And all those things will be given you. But what do? We only seek those things first before when we are comfortable. Before you will never come to Christ if that is what you want, because you will never be satisfied. You get 1,000 today, the next day you want 10,000. You get 10,000, 100,000, and that will take you out until Christ comes, or till you die. And that will be the end. So that is why Christ is saying it will be difficult for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible's teaching is very clear. Whether you are actually wealthy or just want to be wealthy, money can be an obstacle to your faith, depending on how you love it, more than the love that you must have for God. Time is running. So let's run to the next warning that Christ gave from this account, from verse 25 to 26. When Christ gave this illustration about the camel and the lady's eye, the disciples, according to the Bible, they were greatly amazed. They were surprised. They were astonished. That's why they asked the question, who then can be saved? Yes, you can't ask them moment in every year. Not for the same for the seven or not. You have mama. Also, as you say that here, there, and your high power, the Benya and Haji. If this is what Christ is saying, then who can really enter into the kingdom of heaven? Like I said, we all, at a point in time, were viewing wealth as an approval of God's blessing. See, once we'll be in Yiska, we'll be at GD, we'll be at Timur Yasinamisham. So that's what we think it is a blessing from God. No, it is never. The blessed man, according to someone, will be a blessed, and will be a neighbor near a channel. Now, Unu said, maybe who are making a more or no, and will be a castaway blessed. It's not the rich, it's not the famous. Now, when Christ had said this, they were astonished because they were used to watching wealth, I mean, viewing wealth as people who have been blessed. So, in their minds, and in all our minds, we think such people are blessed. So, why are Christ saying that they can enter into heaven? And that's why they ask the question, who then can be saved? That's the question the disciples asked. And let's see the answer that Christ gave in verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yes. This means salvation only comes from God. No man, no woman, nobody can on their own save themselves. He says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So it means with God it is possible for everyone to be saved. In other words, otherwise only God can save. It is not anything that we do. We can't save our anytime you are saved, you are truly saved if you know that it's God who has done. The Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin and pointed you to Christ, and then through the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, and you believe in him, you were saved. So salvation only comes from God. So the gospel says, with God all things are possible. This is God's amazing grace. And that is what one of our teachings in the Reformed faith. In the Reformed faith, what we say is that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. Remember the alone. By grace, and quite here, Adam, who be in the horn or the or no any papa, and ya and quite here. And a GDA and Kuma, and a GDA so, yes, and Kuma. This is the only way that you can be saved. Remember, look at the alone. It means that you can never be saved through Muhammad. You can never be saved through Hindu. You can never be saved through anybody except Christ. Because he is the only one who has shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. That is why you say salvation comes only from God. Which means you are finding free bebia. Say the first name, maybe a GDN. Also, last time, because I've been here, one of our friends, let me take care of me, but area, and we'll be building academy or preaching. And right in front of the person, there was a Muslim sitting there. Because of the Muslim, he said, oh, no matter who you worship, all of us will go to God. Whether it's Muhammad, or see such a thing. Because you have to please the woman there. The Bible said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. No one. You can never go to God through any other means except by Christ. That is why you say salvation is only through God. In John chapter 1, verse 4, he said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the life to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. It's only those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ and what he has done on Calvary. They are the only one. Not anyone and what he has done and his achievements or whatever. He can never take you to heaven. And John goes on to say in verse 13, he said, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In the same John chapter 1, day, say, not of the will of man, but of the will of God, through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary. So this confirms what I've just told you, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. No other person, no other means, no other religion can give you salvation. So yes, it's hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard for all of us also. But it is impossible apart from God. That is what Christ is saying, that we can enter into the kingdom of God. But then, like I said, Christ taught them two things: the hindrances to salvation and the rewards. And in my best any empaswa a walk, sir, and for you. Now, so Fasuena, so Otia, a maca, be a many time for you. Say, young man, say, Otisasa, we are here. Uncle Akotuni Manina, the Amania for 3 years to come, not for the years which he said, you'll bring a tribunal, a change, you're not a one. So let's see why Christ said this. When Peter said, we have left all these things and follow you, therefore what shall we have? This is a question that Christ should have given us, but Christ used it to teach them so many things. Remember Peter and other disciples, his brother Andrew, and when they were fishermen, when Christ called them, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then they immediately left their net and followed him. So the question Peter was asking, literally, he left everything. That was his means of living. He left everything to follow Christ. And in the Gospel of John chapter 6, we see many, many people who were following Christ, but at a point deserting him, because he was teaching them some difficult things that they find it difficult to swallow. The same thing as is happening here. But when he asked Peter whether you go away, Peter said, no. Who can we go? Where shall I go? You have the life and everything. And the teaching is clear. There's nothing that can be compared to salvation and the rewards that follow. We read in our account that he said during the regeneration, it means when Christ comes the second time, when he comes and it is time for judgment, these people who left everything to follow him will be with him. They will have authority. They have positions of authority to judge the people. They will be with Christ. But before then, he said, whatever they have lost in this world, all what they have lost, he will give them 100 times. If you lost 100 cities, he will give you 100 times 100. In this world, before even the regeneration time comes, where you will be with him, where you have authority to judge people. Friends, won't you forsake everything to get this reward? That you will be with Christ himself, to judge people, he will give you eternal life in heaven. Friends, believe what the Bible says. There's eternal life, one in heaven and one in hell. Did the Bible actually say that thing? Atemuwo said, it's appointed unto man to die once, after death there's judgment. Uwechino atemuwo ho, adasa ubeko heaven, anasa ubeko hell. Who are we tiemine? Who are we tiha and pay? Him and apesu oko. The dear Ben and Woye are. Are you seeking God sincerely from your heart? Or are you paying more attention to your businesses than the word of God? If you say you have been saved, one of the signs of your salvation is that you put Christ first in everything. But do you do that? It's a sign of your salvation. Have you come to Christ that he should give you? You see, he said, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of the glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There are a lot of things to say about this, but because of our time, all what he's saying is that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you want in this world will be added unto you. If you want to seek for those things first, you can never, never get salvation. And that is the message that Christ wants me to give you this morning. If you have not done that, this is the time. You are not dead yet. Like I said, those people that I went to see at the funeral, they were all dead. There was no time for them to repent. We will also go like that. How ready are you? Christ, you can come at any time. How ready are you for that day? Let today be that day if you haven't given your life to Christ. Bow down your head wherever you are. Let's pray, and while praying, commit your life to Christ.